How frustrating is it for a child who sees ghosts yet no parent will believe? Do you ever share your stories again? Or do you persist hoping that one day someone will believe?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you can support our program, help us stay on the air. It's only $5 a month. You become an extra podcast person. You get the prestigious title of being an EPP. With that, you get bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, access to our archive of more than 300 bonus episodes, advanced episodes, which are commercial-free, our audiobook, our ebook, all of the extras that come along with that for only $5 a month. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories and help us keep this pirate ship afloat. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm doing okay.
Doing okay.
Yeah.
You're a little stressed out?
Stressed out, a little uncomfortable, but
yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I was talking about our house where we're going through the sale of it right now. We can talk about anything else that is uncomfortable if you care, but that's your call.
Take your pick. I mean, you could put everything going on into a hat and draw one and talk about it.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, what's the stressor of the day?
I think my biggest stressor right now is the kidney stone I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
So, which is not anything new. I've had them before. My goal is to not have to go to the hospital for this one. Mm-hmm. So, working on it. But I'm still going to sit here and record 3 episodes in a row today with the kidney stone.
If you need to take a break, just let me know.
No, we're gonna do this.
We'll get a microphone laid on the ground or something. And
oh my god, yesterday was so bad. I was curled up in the closet crying. Anybody that tells you, oh, it's worse than childbirth, they're right. It is.
I'm just gonna continue to drink lemon juice every day of my life and hope to god that I'd never have one.
Yeah.
But Jenny, actually, she's been collecting them, and she uses them in home decor items.
I make necklaces out of kidney stones. Necklaces out of God. That's so gross.
That's like the most. I was going to say it's like, you know, stuff you put like in like a fish tank or a small vase or something, uh-huh. You know, like kind of the gravel. But it's like, oh, these are really unique stones. What are they? They're the kidney stones I've collected over the last 20 years.
Oh, God.
But necklaces takes it to a whole new level. I really, yeah, you beat me there. But
no.
Well, there you go. That's welcome to the program, everybody. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, I live in a little old mining town in the middle of Sweden. This town was built in the 1700s. I've never believed in ghosts, and I've always had a way to explain things that happen, like sleep paralysis or just in my mind playing tricks on me. But this story I'm about to tell breaks my brain. Maybe I'm about to change my mind. Maybe. I worked mornings in a lumber mill, so I had to get up early, around 4:30. So I used to get in my car and start my 20-minute drive. As you leave our town, you drive past a cemetery, and you come out on a road where there's a river on the left and a wheat field on the right. And also on the left, an old milestone from the 1700s. It's still dark outside, and I pass the milestone. I see a totally black figure walking along the right side of the road towards me. I just pass the figure without seeing a face or anything. It's just black. I instantly got goosebumps, and I'm looking in my rearview mirror and thinking, wow, that looked creepy. And what if that was a ghost? How often have you thought that while passing someone? Also, when you pass someone in the dark with black clothes, they often shine or maybe turn a gray color in the light. That did not happen. It was totally black. Well, I get to work, don't really think about it all that much, mostly just tell myself it was someone out for a stroll. A few days pass, and then a lady I know who also gets up early for work comes to me and asks, do you see the lady in black walking along the road by the milestone? I confirmed that I did, and she says she also thought it looked very strange and that she had a dress on. This happened back in 2011. Now we jump to the fall of 2019. And there's a party at the old mansion in town, and I'm the sober driver. An older man I know gets in the car, and I kind of jokingly tell him, since the place has so many ghost stories, maybe we'll get to see a ghost. And he says, well, when I was younger, I was riding my bike down by the milestone when he said, the milestone, I got goosebumps. He told me he saw a lady in black walking along the road, and he said hello to her, but she didn't answer. He thought maybe there was a masquerade at the mansion since he had one of those old puffy dresses on. He also told me the story from the old mansion where the owner caught his wife in bed with another man and killed him. The body was later found down by the river. He said maybe she's out there by the river looking for him. Since he told me this story, I've been investigating and found 7 people who have seen the shadowy lady on the road. Could it be some sort of reoccurring thing where the shadow lady takes a walk from time to time, or am I just fooling myself? Often have you found people along the road that gives you goosebumps? I guess I'll never have any answers, but at least I have a ghost story to tell people. Thanks for the show, guys. It would be fun to hear your opinion.
I wonder if she's a residual haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Because she keeps doing the same thing. Every time somebody sees her, she's just walking, and she doesn't seem to interact with anybody that goes by.
Yeah, there's no response.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you know, looking up. I mean, which, if you were a conscious living person or a conscious dead person, and there's a car going by, I think you would be looking that way.
Mm-hmm.
But here's an interesting thought on residual things, or things that don't respond. Is it that they are residual, or is it that they can't see what's going on in present time? You know, we talk about sometimes they're still operating in their own world of, you know, where doors were and houses that aren't there anymore and things of that nature. Is that everything else around them? Are they not seeing the overlap of anything? They're still operating there.
I think sometimes that's the case, but mm-hmm. when you have a case like this where she's doing the exact same thing every time somebody sees her.
Sure.
She's just walking by this mile marker, mm-hmm. and that's it. I think that's a residual. I think sometimes when you have ghosts that don't pay any attention to people, but they're doing different things mm-hmm. at different times, that's more like what you're describing, where they just don't see us.
Mm-hmm. So when it's residual, is there a spirit that's actually there, or is that just some sort of energy thing that... some property to energy that we're not aware of how it works, like their consciousness, whatever you want to call it, their soul is off somewhere else doing something. This is just the imprint that's there. Just as if I made a mark on this desk, you know, I'm not always here by that mark, but I made that mark.
I almost think it's that. I just think it's yeah. an imprint.
And that's just going over and over. That's like a shell
yeah.
of something. Yeah. Or like I can make a ton of references, like plaster masks, things of that nature. It's not the person, but mm-hmm. it looks like them. Mm-hmm. That sort of a thing. Yeah. Like having a mannequin in your house during quarantine, and you move it around your home and
hey,
you dress it up, and you have drinks with it, and you talk to it.
Gotta have fun somehow. And it's pretty funny.
My parents have a mannequin in their house.
You know what? She's pretty... Did you see they tatted her up? She's got like sleeves now, you know? Where,
I didn't.
Yeah, where she's got like tattoo sleeves.
Did they do this during quarantine?
No, but you know, you can buy shirts that make it look like you have tattooed arms.
Okay.
It looks like they have one on her, and then they have the, I think your mom wears the Thelma, and this is Louise, mm-hmm. the mannequin.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just something fun to post, and I get a kick out of it.
It's been in funny places.
I mean, I gave her the Thelma and Louise tanks, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So. I just didn't know if they broke out like my old like Crayola markers or something and started tatting up Thelma.
I don't know. Your mom has some artistic talent, but I don't think tatting a mannequin is in that realm.
Wouldn't that be great if like during quarantine, my parents who have no tattoos whatsoever and are like the last people on earth that you'd think of to have tattoos, learned how to do like tattoos over quarantine, and then when it's done, they open up their own tattoo parlor. It's just be like, what? You're doing what?
I have no judgment against people with tattoos.
No, it's just be funny.
Your parents would be the least likely people in the entire world to do tattoos.
Wouldn't that be funny though? Just the craziness of it. Just be like, well, this is the world post-quarantine once it's all done and they're doing tattoos now. Yeah.
I don't know, but I tell you what, with the new house, I'm going to order a shitload of your mom's windows with farm animals painted on them because that's perfect.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get another letter. It says, hey guys, just started listening a couple of weeks ago. Recently, you talked about the living astral projections in dreams. This would explain the strangest and most confusing paranormal experience I've ever had. My sister and I were very close as kids. I think this happened when I was in high school, and she was in middle school. At that time, we played a lot of video games. It was a cold Minnesota winter night, plenty of snow accumulated on the roofs and the ground. I was asleep, dreaming of being in a video game. Nerdy, I know. I look up and realize there are people watching me as I fight the bad guys or whatever it was I was doing. Then somehow I'm one of the people outside the game watching the little me inside. I realized I'm in a store and this is a demo game. Anyone can come and watch and play. Then I wake up to a tapping on my window at the head of my bed. I sit up and look and my sister is tapping my window from the roof outside. I thought it was strange that she was out there on the roof in the cold and snow in the middle of the night. I open the window to ask her what she's doing. Did you have a dream? She asked. I said, yeah. And we had this totally normal, casual conversation about how we had similar dreams. How strange, right? Then she asked, are you afraid? I said, no. We'd seen each other in the dreams before. Then she leans into my room face to face with me. Her face is completely white, and suddenly I was very afraid. Don't be afraid, she said, and it scared me so bad I must have hidden under the covers until I fell back asleep. I asked her about the experience later, and she told me her side of what happened. So she wakes up from her video game dream to piano music. Her brother plays, but it's still strange for him to be playing in the middle of the night. So she gets out of bed, goes downstairs to investigate. She enters the living room where our older brother is playing the piano. He stops playing when he realizes she's watching him. Turns to look at her and then vanishes. Strange. Then she smells fresh baked cookies, hears the oven opening in the kitchen. She goes to investigate there. She sees her older sister taking cookies out of the oven. Our sister turns to her and vanishes. Very strange. She goes back upstairs to her room and sees that the window was open. She looks out and sees footprints on the snow on our roof outside her window. She gets out onto the roof to follow them. She follows them around across a thin ledge, then goes in front of the house to the other side where the footprints go into my room. She peers into my window where she can see I'm sleeping. She taps on the glass. I wake up, open my window. Do you have a dream? She asked, and yeah, we had the same conversation I remembered. She thought I looked scared. Are you afraid? Don't be afraid, she insists. She genuinely didn't want me to be afraid. After I hid under the covers, she didn't want to scare me more, so she closed the window, followed the footprints back to her room, and went back to bed. To this day, I kick myself for not checking the roof after this happened to see if there were footprints. If there were, she could have been sleepwalking, although she doesn't have any history of that sort of thing. In fact, there's nothing like that in my whole family that I know of. The astral projecting idea you guys mentioned in the last piece of the is the last piece of the puzzle for this experience to make any sense. Very interesting.
It's almost like they both had astral projections at the same time and met up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unusual because most time that's a very much a one person experience. You're alone. It's almost an out of body experience, or, you know, you think you're in a dream, but then people have seen you as a ghost somewhere else. And it's like they saw each other as a ghost.
So are they, I'm trying to understand the astral projection thing. Was the whole going to the window thing in the dream?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this didn't in physical life actually happen where she walked to the window and the other one was on the roof. They both had this in their astral projection dream that she walked out into the roof, then she went to the window and got scared. But none of this physically happened, but in both of their minds it did simultaneously.
I believe so.
Okay.
If I'm following correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a unique one.
Yeah.
To have that sort of an experience where the two are blending like that. Because there would be like two sets of footprints out there. If she's following one, you know, mm-hmm. then hers would be out there. As well, and then to be downstairs and then to see someone vanish, as her sister said that she did, that's what leads me to go, oh, this is part of her dream, mm-hmm. from what I'm understanding. But no, I mean, I guess, you know, there's that level too sometimes where you have siblings where they just know things about each other. You see it in twins a lot,
Yeah.
But it can be in other things as well. Where they, you know, there's sometimes just an intuition feeling, but then there's, I guess, sometimes also, you know, you have just transport of information. And it's, I wonder if that kind of plays into this too, with them being siblings.
Mm-hmm. It could be. I will say not all siblings share that.
Sure.
At all.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, but some do.
Some do.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, what a bizarre experience to have. Thank you for sharing. And I can imagine how confusing that would be just to try and make sense of it, over the years, because there's, there's something else going on there. There's no way to explain that could have happened without something, making this happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, this is a bit of a weird story. I recently moved down to southern Canada. Not going to say where, but it is a very historic area. And we found this house, and first of all, there's a house, well, not a house, there's a cement foundation in my backyard that was the foundation of a house right here that burned down. And my family, we've been pretty light sleepers, but I'm a super deep sleeper. Like, once I'm out, I'm out. Right. So, ever since we moved in here, my bedroom just kind of felt off. Right. And, for like the first 2 months, nothing really happened. But on the second month, just at the cusp of the end of it, I had my first instance of like, whoa, what is weird? This is weird. And, I had a sleep paralysis, which was possibly the scariest thing that's happened to date, because I didn't recognize it as sleep paralysis. And, I just saw this man in the corner of my room standing there and observing me. And, I heard my fridge door opening and slamming shut repeatedly. And stuff like that. And then I snapped out of it. I was like, oh, that's weird. And I could not go to sleep for the rest of that night. And, I kept on going on. But recently, my doors have been opening and shutting by themselves. I just came downstairs, because upstairs is where my room is. And all my stuff started shaking violently. It does this, like, almost every day. And it only ever happens when my bedroom door was closed. So I did where I was holding my camera. I'd open the door, the stuff would stop shaking. But as I'd close the door, the stuff would start shaking again. And like stuff would be knocked over. And, I was like, okay, that's weird. And, now it's been every night constantly where I get sleep paralysis and stuff like that. I've never had any paranormal instances, before in my life. And this is, I'm not going to say guaranteed paranormal, but it's a little weird. And I see these people in my house. And I go downstairs. My fridge door would be open. And, yeah, it's just, oh, it gives me chills. And there's this one instance that I'd really like to share where I was in my room. It was late at night. I'm a weird sleeper. I go to sleep at like 6. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I just like doing that. But lately, my sleep schedule has been off. I've been really in a funk. And I was like up until 11, which is weird, because usually I can't stay up past 8. And I kept on hearing this tapping noise coming from my window. I have this massive window in my room, right? And there's a Canadian flag over the window. And I just always been weird about that window. I always feel like something's watching me through the window. especially because it leads to just butt-frick nowhere, like straight out into forest. So it's just a little creepy. And I kept on hearing this tapping noise. And I had this overwhelming feeling of, oh, man, if I look out right now, I'm going to see something there. There's going to be a person, probably that same guy that I keep on seeing every day. And I didn't come out of my blankets. I had a pillow fort going in my bed. I just huddled up there. I was watching, you know, videos and stuff on my phone. And, oh, man, it was just creepy. This is kind of a more of a darker turn, but 4 or actually 5 years come this June ago, my father passed away in a tragic accident, and I was there, and because of that, I developed PTSD, and I've had night terrors. I've been screaming in my sleep and walking around, and yeah, it's just been wacky. And I know that that person is not my dad, because my dad was rather of short and stocky stature. He was built like a brick shit house, but, you know, was short. He was 5'9"-ish. And this shadow figure, my roof is about 7 foot tall, and he almost has to crick his neck to stand straight up. So that's just weird. And it's just got this weird presence to it. It's never done anything threatening to me, but it just feels threatening because it screams and stomps around at night, and it has this tapping noise that it won't stop doing. It shakes my stuff. It flings my stuff. And it's, like, only ever in my room and downstairs, because, like, I'd see him when I'm dozing off. When I'm dozing off, I'll finally open my eyes, and I'll see him in the corner of my eye and jolt back up. It's creepy. So I'd like to hear your guys's... I know the story was a bit all over the place because I'm not good at speaking and time constraints and stuff like that. I stutter a lot, but whatever. And, yeah, I'd like to hear your guys' take on the story and see what it possibly could be. It's just a shadow figure, man. I named him Carrots, by the way, so his name's Carrots. And I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on what this could be. And, love the podcast. I'm becoming an EPP pretty soon, so bye.
He named it Terrence or Carrots?
I heard Carrots.
I think Terrence was what he meant, though.
Yeah.
Well, Carrots is a cute one. That's kind of like an animal name for a...
So I want to go back to the fact that there was a house that burned down on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes you wonder... Is the activity related to that? Not necessarily did somebody die, but was there something already there on the property that caused this house fire that subsequently burned down? And is that entity what, is terrorizing him?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it takes different forms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he realizes that the form when it tries to look like his dad but is not doing it right,
mm-hmm,
isn't his dad.
Yeah.
That's gotta be just like a gut punch, when you see that, but
sure.
I'm glad he realizes that that is not his dad. Cause a lot of people will start thinking, oh, that's who it is. It's my loved one, but there's something kind of off.
Yeah.
And so it makes me think that this is something more on the dark side.
Yeah. And I think my thought would be it's something that's feeding off of all the things that he's going through with the PTSD and everything, mm-hmm, basically kicking someone when they're down.
Yeah.
When they're, and unfortunately that's what we see a lot of. And then it's also, well, who's going to believe you? You're going through this. So it's probably just part of that. That's how generally people look at those sort of things.
And people that don't understand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, and that's what, why it does it at that time. So, yeah, I could lean towards this being something dark or something that was just really an asshole in life and is, still being a bully, mm-hmm, and still feeding off of someone who is in a very vulnerable state right now and screwing with them.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess as to what's going on in a situation. Thanks for sharing that experience with us here. on the program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, so I'm really excited. I'm a first-time caller. I've been binging while I work, so appreciate you guys for keeping me company during the workday. I have just a couple of really short stories. I used to work at a ice cream shop / coffee shop in Yorktown, Virginia, back in high school. Yorktown battlefields where we won our American independence in the Revolutionary War. So obviously there's a lot of activity and ghost investigations of all types that go on down in that area. Well, our coffee shop and ice cream shop, still in existence today. It's down at Yorktown Beach, which is just right on the York River. So we, being on the river, on the beach, we were open pretty late in the summertime. So it was one of those nights that we were closing up shop, working late, and I was probably doing something in the back like dishes, and I heard a conversation, clear as day, man and a woman talking in the front of the shop. Pretty common, I would say, occasionally for one of us to go outside and forget to lock the doors again after sweeping the front, you know, patio area. And so I just kind of walked right out to inform whoever had come in that we were actually closed for the night. And as I opened my mouth and turned the corner to say that, I realized there was no one in the building besides myself. So, I know I must have had a coworker somewhere around, but not in the general vicinity, not in the building at the time. So, pretty odd, you know, hearing, I mean, a back and forth conversation. I mean, man and a woman talking to each other. So, never heard it again, kind of wrote it off. And I would say not too long after that, it was another night closing up shop, and one of the bags of coffee beans basically kind of flew off the shelf. I did not see this with my own eyes. I heard the bag of coffee hit the floor and turned around to see, you know, what had fallen to pick it up. Oddly enough, and I still think about it from time to time, the bag itself was on the bottom shelf, maybe 2-3 inches off the floor, 4 inches max. So for it to have fallen and projected forward in the manner that it did, to land several feet away from the counter, I still can't compute. You know, being that low to the ground and landing that several feet away. So just kind of weird stuff. I'm sure there's probably some activity from, you know, being in the battlefields that spills into even just all the buildings and shops in that area. So thanks for the awesome podcast. Keep it up. Talk to you soon.
I would imagine any place like Yorktown that has that much history, you're going to have a multitude of things. It's going to be busy even when the stores are closed. There's just going to be stuff all the time.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where a lot of times people try and go, well, who's haunting it? What's haunting it? And you try, and it's just like you can't answer.
Yeah.
Accurately.
It's like you opened Old Navy and you're like, who's here? You know?
Yeah.
It's like you've got a place with that much history. It's everybody. Everybody's there.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a great analogy. It's like, well, who are you talking about specifically? Yeah. Are we talking about the person over there looking at the sandals, you know, or who, you know, because there's all these people that keep and they come and they go too. Mm-hmm. So the answer of like, well, who's here this hour is going to be different than who's here next hour.
Yeah.
So it's just a constant cycle of who's who. And it's an impossibility in terms of identifying it. You see that obviously a lot too in like institutions that are haunted or hospitals, any place where there's been a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And even there sometimes, I just did another episode the other day on the Grave Talks about the Melvern Manor, which was a hotel, it was a hospital, it was an old folks' home. And we did an episode on it more than a year ago, but this is a whole new episode, kind of revisiting it and talking with one of the lead investigator people there. And that seems to be a place where people or spirits tend to go to, even if they didn't have anything to do with the place to begin with.
Oh.
It's almost like it's such a battery of stuff that it's like, hey, it's the hotel for the dead, where people are still coming in.
So it's like a haunted tourist attraction, but the haunted tourist attraction, meaning the ghosts go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they do tours of it, you know, outside of COVID, and they do private investigations and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, I mean, it's like ghosts seem to be drawn to it as well, even if they weren't the ones that are haunting it. We're talking about, because there's one spirit, and I it's in the episode of The Grave Talks, but if I remember correctly, it was one that was traced down to a property down the road of like, yeah, that sounds exactly like that we've seen this person. I think it was a little girl. I could be wrong, mm-hmm. but it was something very specific where it was like, yeah, and now she's hanging out down the road over here. And she really had no traceable ties to the building.
Sure.
Which is interesting. I think that's common when you have something that's kind of like a battery where you have so many things going on at it, where it attracts other spirits if there's a lot in the area. So interesting to hear about that. That episode will be airing in, I believe, early July on the Grave Talks. Gravekeepers over there will get it a bit earlier than that. But be watching for that one. It's an interesting one. It was one of the, I mean, I think I've had a lot of great interviews lately, but that to me was always an interesting topic. That location itself, a very interesting topic. So one of my more favorite of the last handful. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes, and more, and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.